The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
To die, to sleep perchance, to dream. For in that sleep of death, when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, what dreams may come? Who would bear the whips and scorns of time to grunt and sweat under a weary life, if not for the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country, from whose shore no traveler returns? Thus, conscience does make cowards of us all. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, to be or not to be, that is the question. And in that sleep of death, what dreams may come. Brought to you by WKTV, I'm your Ghost Hunters host, Wayne Preston Curtis Thomas. Welcome to another episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Podcast. As always, we ask that you please keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious. Tonight, we are honored to welcome Joe and Jen Shortridge from 222 Paranormal to our show. They do a weekly podcast on all things paranormal. First, let's meet my co-host, zooming from Holland, Michigan.
Hi, I'm Kim Colleen. Thank you for welcoming me and welcome to 222 Paranormal to the podcast.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, and zooming from Byron Center, Michigan.
Hey, this is Brandon Jose of Jose Paranormal History Productions YouTube channel.
Now, Brandon, you've heard this description before, all things paranormal.
Yeah, that's our page as well.
That's how they described us in the beginning, but we found out we were more than that. I got a feeling 222 Paranormal is much more than that, too. Zooming from Toledo, Ohio, please welcome to the show, Joe and Jen. Jen and Joe. I don't know. Is it the Joe and Jen show or the Jen and Joe show?
It's Joe and Jen. Well, seeing he's my older brother, mm-hmm. I'll let him have the top billing.
I don't know. I like Jen and Joe show.
There you go.
That'll work.
Hey.
That'll work.
I don't know. That's what I like, but that's me. I posed that question on Facebook to Joe, but he avoided it. He didn't even want to answer that one.
I thought you were going to call me the legend.
Oh,
I am a legend in my own mind. Yeah.
Oh, I tried to find out a few things about my guests before they come on, and I found Joe on a list of other people, famous people: Burt Reynolds, Tom Selleck, Charlie Chaplin, Groucho Marx, Sonny Bono, Captain Kangaroo.
Stash.
Everybody that's learned from me.
Yeah, right. I'm wondering, Jen, what's it like to live in the shadow of that mustache?
Oh my gosh, you have no idea.
It's haunted, you know.
This is haunted mustache.
Oh, and you apparently live in a haunted house.
I do. I have a very active home. It's almost 100 years old, and I've had everything from orbs, shadow figures, disembodied voices, full body apparitions, whistling. I hear knocks and bangs. It just goes on and on. Like even last night I had something happen, which was really interesting. Just this really, really strong presence of like somebody in my house. Like it was, I was scared. I couldn't sleep. It felt like there was just somebody around me. I'm telling you,
Do you have a little bit of psychic abilities?
No, psychic, but I'm sensitive.
Oh, sensitive. Okay.
So, you know, I can go in and just tell their spirits somewhere, but you know,
sure.
I couldn't give you the lottery numbers or anything, right? I wish you could, but I can't.
And that works out because you guys are paranormal investigators, ghost hunters. What is it?
So Joe and I, you know, we call ourselves a podcast. We do go hunting with other groups. We are not in a paranormal group per se, but we have so many friends and people that we met along the way. And we also, you know, just like to tag along on their ghost hunts. We'll be like, can we come too? Mm-hmm. And
we'll bring the snacks.
We bring snacks and we're always invited. Right. But you know, we've gone pretty much across the country to all the different locations. We've been to Mansfield, which is, you know, probably one of the most famous places here in the tri-state area. And where else have we been, Joe?
Oh, all over.
We've been in caves and hospitals and sewers and you name it, we've been
in the Rock, Illinois, one of our first investigations. Yeah. And I actually got cave cough after it. And so I got an attachment, but it was more of a fungus, I guess.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So if you ever go into caves or any of these haunted locations, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of them have stuff in the air that you shouldn't be breathing in. So be really careful in the places you go to. But yeah, we went to Cave in the Rock, Illinois, and that is a haunted cave because of the pirates that were on the Ohio River. And I got so sick, just coughing and that for a week or so afterwards. But it's my own fault. I didn't wear a mask.
I was in this huge tunnel, and then they had the night vision cameras. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, what is all that stuff?
Yeah.
That I'm seeing floating around, and I'm breathing that. And I had a bad taste in my mouth the whole day afterwards. We slept there. It was a bed and breakfast thing. And then they had this tunnel that went all the way around. You could have drove a four-wheel drive vehicle through there. Wow. It was so big of a tunnel. Yeah, it was, no one else wanted to really go down into the darkest part of it, but I took a chair with me. I took it back there and just sat back there. Yeah, I was ready, but nothing really happened except bad air.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. We just went to, I went, where was it, Joe?
The 101 house?
Oh, yeah, we went to this place in Indiana, and there was white mold. The entire basement is full of white mold, and we didn't realize it. We got down there, and we're like, oh my gosh. You know, you have to worry about the paranormal, and then you have to worry about sometimes, you know, we've been in places where homeless people were surprised us. But then also the environment, you know, you're like, okay, I don't want to get an attachment, but I also don't want to get like mold spores all over my teeth, you know, because you don't want to bring that home as well as attachments, which we have had follow us home. That's
right. I was wearing a mask long before it was fashionable because I added that to my, you know, my equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody should put that in their ghost hunting box. Definitely keep.
Yeah, yeah, I would suggest that.
And hand sanitizer.
We got called to
some holy water.
Yeah, we got called to a location here in Toledo, and it was one of our groups here was doing it. And they're like, "Hey, you guys come along with us. We need the help." We're like, "Okay." We show up and the house was so nasty. The carpet was liquefied with all the nasty animal stuff.
Yeah. And
we walked in and I'm like, I am not going in that building without a full white suit on.
We're froze up. Everybody's froze up but me, I guess. Oh, wow. This is different. Everyone's froze up.
And the daughter was afraid to go in and clean the house out because she kept seeing people in the house, her parents who had passed away, and it was scaring her. And she wanted us to come in. But unfortunately, it was just so unsanitary. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, we're like, sorry, we want to help you, but.
Mm-hmm. I laid a microphone in the house. That was the only piece of equipment I put in the house. And when I pulled the cable up, and to bring it home, it was dripping wet.
Yeah.
So
when you go to
these locations, make sure you know what you're going into before you get into these locations, because sometimes it's not the ghosts you have to worry about.
Yeah. Brandon and I actually did a home where we wondered whether we should report the conditions because they had children living there.
Oh, no.
You know, I'm not mandated myself to report that, but you just wonder, you know, whether you should bring somebody in because they definitely needed help cleaning up.
That house actually did end up being very haunted because Jen did see apparitions in the mirror, was it?
Yeah, so there was me and another investigator. Once we went in, and the house was just full of stuff too. There was like 1,000 snow globes, jewelry boxes, trinkets everywhere. And we walked in, I was like, no. But as soon as we turned the corner, we both saw a woman in the mirror, in this particular mirror that this the owner of the home said she had seen. And it was frightening.
How long you guys been doing this?
So I've been doing about 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. So I've been doing it probably about 10.
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys started when you were 6 and 7?
Yeah, right.
Yep.
I turned the big 5-0 this year. I'm like,
welcome to the club.
I was going kicking and screaming. I'm like, when did that happen? I don't even know.
I can't see your shirt well enough. 222 paranormal.
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
Bigfoot on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. I went with Bigfoot tonight, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kim made those up. For us.
Those are nice. I like that.
Yep. 222 paranormal. What? Yeah. Now, where did you come up with that? What's the significance? Oh, yeah.
So my birthday is February 22nd. And so 222 has always been my lucky number. It's always been something that, you know, when I was feeling, I just saw something over there, by the way. Sorry. We tend to have paranormal activity every time that we're taping in Joe's house. So I it's always just been like a guide for me. So in numerology, 222, when you start seeing it, it can be an indicator that, or the word I want is a, lost my mind. But anyways, it gives you, like you're on the right path. So it's a confirmation that you're doing what you should be doing, you're going on the right path. It's an affirmation. That's the word I was looking for. And it also can be an indicator of an upcoming paranormal activity. So if you start seeing 222 a lot, something may be coming forth. So like maybe you see it before you go to an investigation, or something in your house, all of a sudden you see it on license plates or on your receipts or on somebody's shirt, on a podcast. We always see it. We'll be out traveling because we go all over, we do conventions all over the United States. Before COVID, we were doing like 50 conventions a year. It was crazy. But we will start seeing it on the way.
Yeah.
I looked it up. I wondered what, you know, why you guys picked that. Mm-hmm. And I got spiritual awakening, enlightenment, good luck, joy, goodness, balance, beginnings, new start. And like you said, the right path.
Yes.
There's been so many times, you know, I mean, there is a part of your brain called the active reticulating system, which helps you identify things that are important. And, you know, it's like you buy a white car and all of a sudden you see that white car everywhere because it's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we see 222 everywhere. I mean, in weird situations,
yeah.
You know, we travel a lot with the show. We travel a lot with the band, and we were doing a show down in Cave in the Rock, Illinois, and we had to go to where the stage was. We had to pass this tractor every day for the 4 days we were there. And on the side of the tractor, giant letters 222, you know, or you get pulled or get cut off by a semi and the trailer numbers 222 or things. So it just came up in our life. So many, and hotels, can't tell you how many times we go to a hotel and they're going, oh, here's your key to your room.
It's room 222,
you know?
Oh my gosh.
So
I took your room at Michigan Paracon because that actually was my room number, was 222.
Oh my gosh,
he is the one.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's funny.
Damn you, Brandon.
It's going to bring him luck. It's yep. luck.
So, yeah. Now, there's a 111 paranormal out there. Is yep. that like your, yep. Are they related to you guys?
No, they are great people. Yeah. We talk to them all the time. Yep. We actually had I think that was our first year at the PsyCon, or however you say it, at the Ohio State Reformatory. Uh-huh. And they had the booth right next to us. Yeah, so it was kind of cool.
111 and 222 right next
to us. Oh, for Pete's sake.
They're great. They're really nice people.
Now, Brandon and Kim both knew you guys. I don't know how well they had ran into you before.
Yeah. Yep.
Talked to Kim many times.
Yep.
Oh, many times.
Yep. Yeah, just over the years here and there. And then I had an interview with them at the Paracon in Grand Haven. Mm-hmm. The one that I met you at, Wayne.
Yeah,
right.
And so they did a little interview with me about the Tulip City Ghostbusters and stuff. And it was nice. That's when I first met them. So I met them the same time as I met you, Wayne.
Brandon, is that the same time you met
these guys? Yeah, just a little bit. I think we were across from each other at that Ghost Coast convention. We're like across the aisle.
You were. Yeah. Yep, I remember that now.
Now, see, I have no recollection of that whatsoever. I don't know.
I just remember the alien costume that they gave to Rick Wade. And he walked around Grand Haven in 110.
Yeah.
And a rubber mask and aluminum foil suit.
Yep.
And cooking in that thing.
Like, yeah, I remember that. It was crazy.
I was running around a lot, I guess. Yeah. I don't know why I missed you guys.
That's one of the things we do with the conventions too, is we're one of the very few podcasts that actually record interviews at the convention.
Yeah, that was cool.
And we record them on the fly. You know, if someone comes up to our table and wants to be on our show, we're like, okay, get on the show. I mean, there are lots of times I'll get online, I'll look people up so I kind of know who they are and what kind of questions to ask them that. But lots of times we'll just, you know,
have them on. I tend to find that when we do interviews with people, everybody has a ghost story. Mm-hmm. Everybody has some strange or unusual happenings that has happened to them. And a lot of times, I can't tell you how many times we have heard, I've never told anybody this.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because, you know, we've had people had Bigfoot encounters and never said anything to anyone. And then came up to us and they're like, well, I've never told anybody. I'm like, well, it's okay. Yeah. We're here to listen, not here to judge. And that's what's great about the conventions is that you're with so many like-minded people, you know, people who are open to hearing your experience, understanding your experience. You know, there may be people who have had similar things happen, but just were always afraid to talk about it because they thought maybe they would be judged or it was very scary for them. So, you know, going to conventions and meeting, you know, we love meeting new people, right? It's great to have connections and make new friends and in an open environment and accepting environment. Like the paranormal has been really, really a great platform for, you know, us to be able to do the show and meet new people and just share ghost stories. It's so fun. And Bigfoot story.
It was kind of the starting point for me, for us, with that GRASP convention where you guys all met.
Mm-hmm.
I met Shatan there. Shatan interviewed us on the Liminal Abyss podcast, her podcast. I met Todd Clements, bought two of his two books there. And we had both of those guys on the show a number of times. I don't know how I missed you guys. You guys were both there.
Yeah, they were right across from you.
I don't know.
Literally.
I was staring at you all day.
I was at the snack counter most of the time.
I was running around, I guess, most of the time. Brandon did set in, I think, on one of the lectures.
Yeah, I sat in on Todd's one.
I did too.
Yeah.
And then you guys, you never know how long your podcast is going to last. Because I found that by viewing some of them. Yeah. Some of them do go an hour, right? Mm-hmm. But most of them are less.
Yeah.
Probably between 35 and 40 minutes. But if we have a really interesting guest or somebody, you know, that it just flows and it vibes, and if it lasts an hour or 2 hours, hey, you know, it's all the better. The great thing about a podcast, you can stop it and keep listening whenever you want, or go back and listen to it 450 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's okay by us.
Yeah, I know our 1 hour show is not for everybody, especially the kids on YouTube. You know, they want 10, 15 minutes attention span, and that's it, maybe. But you know, this is the way we've always done ours. We run it with a Bond movie is what I said. We have a format. We fill things in as we go. So hopefully we don't forget things when we're done.
Right.
Although sometimes we still do. We don't get to them.
Yeah. Ours is televised on public access channel. So WKTV. So we have to kind of fill that hour for their TV slot. So
yeah, it's worked nice for that. So you guys would be on TV on our local channels, a couple of our local channels.
That's awesome.
So you have a lot of friends in the Grand Rapids area?
We have some, yeah.
We have some. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you mentioned, Mary and Sarah from Paranormal
Bassett.
XL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Them, and I don't know, I do know a lot of people by name, but not by, or by face, but not by name, because we see so many people.
Yeah.
And we'll have people come up to us and like, hey, yeah, we met at this place. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
One time we were at a convention and we had all our equipment set up, because normally we'll have all of our podcasting, you know, the mics, phones, and the headphones. And, you know, we like to interview people as they come by. And these two little kids came up and asked Joe if he was a rapper.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Saran wrap.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I tried to find out some things about our guest, and what I saw on Joe's profile was erotic entertainer.
Yes, I'm a adult dancer on the weekends.
Did you know that?
No.
I don't know. It's not on there now, though. I went back and looked.
I probably took it off. I don't know.
He took it off.
I try to. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
That's what Velcro's for. But I try to mix up stuff. You know, everybody takes Facebook so seriously. You know, like I put on there, I moved to Sedona, Arizona. Everybody freaked out. I'm like, I'd love to. I love the place, but.
Oh, man. No wonder everyone loves you. Now, you recently went in the hospital.
Yep.
With it. And then, I see it.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one.
You see, but it goes from my ear all the way down to my abdomen apple.
Yeah.
You became familiar with the Widowmaker.
Yeah. Yep. Had a 90% blockage of my carotid artery. So my brain wasn't working right. Doctor went in and ripped it open and filleted me open and cleaned it all out. And I'm much better now.
Yeah.
You guys were supposed to be on like before Halloween. So I wrote a poem, a zombie poem to start out with. And then we have this. Kim's son made
it looks
this.
Like Joe after surgery.
Yeah.
Oh.
The scar might be in the wrong place.
Right.
Oh no!
Well, you know, I was out on a mission, and somebody took a wire and threw it over my head. I put my hand here.
Yeah, he tells everybody that.
Yeah.
I found out how many people love you, Joe.
We're glad you're okay. You look and sound like you are completely back to normal.
Pretty much, about 90%.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Konkoleski was willing to step up, take your spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shatan. She was willing, but she, you know, she's so busy. She had something else going.
Yeah.
We were able to swap around, have you on now. So that's great. I'm glad to see you healthy. I saw you did a thing and your voice still wasn't quite right.
You did
a thing on Facebook and.
Yeah. I think my voice changed a little bit.
Yeah. It sounds a little
strange. A little different.
Oh, really?
But
they moved the vocal cords around.
I don't know. I think just cause all the swelling that was going on and all that, I still. Sure. Still can't really feel my neck, but the doctor said that I'll come back.
Hmm.
And I just edited a podcast that I did for my other show, my Year of Profit show. And I put a little segment in the middle of one of the shows I have in the can. And I listened to it and I'm like, my voice completely changed. And then it changed back to what it was before. I'm like,
do you remember the episode where Peter Brady's voice cracked?
He's grabbing for his phone.
Well, while Wayne is getting his phone, I could tell you a couple of ghost stories.
Yeah, we're still recording.
Great. So, okay. So I purchased my home in November of 2006. And when I got into the house, everything was great. It's an older home. It's almost 100 years old. And I had some activity from the start. And at that time, I was like, it's just, you know, me. It's a new place. And it's my first home. And so, you know, you're laying there your first night and you hear creaks and knocks. And you're like, what are all these noises? But as time went on, a couple weeks after I bought the house, one of the neighbors had walked over to introduce himself. And he's like, just a really strange little dude. And he came over and he's like, you buy that house? And I was like, yeah. You know, the guy who lived there killed himself, right? And I was like,
Wayne's doing something.
Not me. It's the signal.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, he hung himself in the garage. I'm like, oh, it's really sad. So, you know, it was just, it was really, he was an elderly man and he couldn't do the things he wanted to do anymore. But he did beautiful, beautiful work in the house. It has tons of like just woodworking and carving. And it was just at when I got it, gorgeous. So after I got in there, you know, I always felt like I could feel his presence there. And I was like, I was totally cool with it because, you know, that was his home for a long time and I'm fine if he wants to stay there. You know, I don't have a problem with it as long as you're not scaring me or disrupting, you know, my things or whatever. And I would hear whistling in the house and I was thought it was my dad because my dad was a whistler. So sometimes my dad would come over and he'd get out of his truck and he would be whistling. I'm like, oh, my dad's here, you know, and I goes out, he'd be there. Well, there would be times where I would hear whistling clear, audible, loud in the house. And I'm like, oh, my windows are closed. Too much conversation with her. Just kind of waved and hi. And I think I talked to her one time and it was funny because I was having a picnic. This is before she passed away. And she came over, she walked over and she was looked at my dad and she's like, Jim. And he's like, no. And she's like, yeah, Jim. He's like, no, Jim's my brother. Well, my uncle Jim had passed by that time. Her husband had worked for my uncle and she saw my dad and thought it was him. And it was just weird because like I had never, you know, really talked to her or anything like that. So she passed away in September and she was in her house for 3 days and nobody found her. So it was sad, you know, because she's just by herself. And so I didn't find out until December because at the time I was working 7 days a week. I was just barely there. You know, I'd come home, sleep, get up, go back to work. So when I did find out she passed away, I was like, yeah, it's kind of sad about it, you know, because she was just. So one night I was in my bed and I was sleeping. I remember so clear. I was dreaming. I remember I was having this dream and all of a sudden it felt like, have you ever been in a thunderstorm where you just feel the electricity? But, you know, maybe you guys have felt it in ghost hunting where you just feel a presence. And I woke up out of the dream, rolled over, and she was standing at the side of my bed. But it was interesting because I could make out it was her. Clearly it was her, but she was in like a milky white mist is the only way to describe it. She had definition. I could see all her features and her hair, but she was just standing there. And I was just like, I wasn't scared, but I didn't know what to do. It was so shocking, you know, I wasn't afraid, but I was just like, why is she here? What? So I rolled over to think about it. Like, and then I rolled back and she was gone. And then I felt really bad because I didn't say anything, to her, you know? And I was like, I don't know if she could even have communicated if she wanted, but it was like, it was like, she just was like either came to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Realized she had passed. And then 2 years later, so the house sat vacant. Somebody cleaned it out. I don't know if it was a relative or what. The new neighbors move in. And the lady kept looking over at my house. And I was like, she keeps looking over at the house. So one day I get up and I pull in my, I was coming home from work, pulled in my driveway, and the lady walked across the street, and she goes, I noticed your bumper sticker. She's like, 222 paranormal. And she's like, do you do something paranormal? And I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I have a show and I ghost hunt and, you know, I do some investigation. She goes, I have a ghost in my house. And I was like, it's Mrs. Hall, right? And she's like, how did you know? And I was like, yeah, she's shown up in my house. So she moved in. And when they moved in, Mrs. Hall, who had passed away, didn't like that they were there. And so she was moving things. Like they'd take the coffee can or the creamer out, set it on the counter, and they come back and it would be in the cabinet. They could hear her walking around. If they're upstairs, they could hear her downstairs. If they were downstairs, they could hear her upstairs. And she was really frightened because she had never had that kind of experience.
Right.
She didn't want to leave her house. You know, she just, yeah.
Her house. Do you guys work with other people to say, like, release the spirit back up to heaven or welcome it? Have you worked with any of, like, people who can help the spirit move on?
Yeah, no, I have. And this mm-hmm. is interesting because, you know, it's only if the owner or whoever, you know, maybe a relative is okay with us doing sure. that, right? Sure. I'm not going to go into some location and release all the spirits and tell them to go to light. Then whoever owns a place doesn't have any paranormal activity and, you know, maybe they won't be able to book investigations. To me, it's not up to me. It would be up to the person who owns that location. So
sure. But you guys do that service? Have you done that in the past?
Joe doesn't. Yeah. I've been with people who have done that, psychics and mediums and some light yep. workers. I've told some animal ghosts to go to the light. But
ghosts, animal, you said animals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
kidding.
It's funny. I was at work and a bird hit the window and I went outside and I picked up this mourning dove and it was like flailing around and I put it in a box and I was like, you know what? Go to the light. And it died right there and I just
You're
went.
Not gonna make it. Yeah. Oh,
really sad. But like we went to a haunted hotel in New York. It's called the Shanley Hotel. It's this historic, beautiful, huge historic hotel. And I saw a ghost cat there. I literally saw this cat walking through and they're like, we don't have any cats. And it was weird because what I thought back, I was like, cat was kind of see-through anyway. So
oh my gosh. Cat,
which I thought was really interesting. But other people have had seen that cat in
the cat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, did it come into your room at all?
Like, no, it was just walking down the hall. Like
down the hall.
Yeah. And it's one of those real old, like giant, almost looks like a barn, but it's a hotel. And it was like all, you know, original wood carving and wood floors and very creaky floors. So when you walked, everything like creaked. So you could hear like the little steps of the cat like going
down the hall. Oh my gosh. That is freaky. Yeah.
Before we started recording, you were saying that in your house, you had whistling, ghost whistling. Yeah. Can you recognize the tune that they're whistling?
No, it's more of just like a little ditty, like,
yeah,
like that. You know, it's not like a song or anything, but a lot of times it sounds like my dad. He had this mm-hmm. sort of whistle that he did. And, you know, it wasn't him because he couldn't drive at that point. He couldn't drive anymore.
Brandon and I have recorded whistling at more than one location. And at the one location, we were able to recognize the tune, Oh Susanna.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of gave us a clue maybe what time period mm-hmm. that spirit was from.
Have you guys ever used music as a trigger object in your locations or your investigations?
We used the Lord's Prayer in different languages. Oh. Yeah, at one home, because we weren't sure. We were hearing stuff that wasn't English, didn't sound like English, but we were recording stuff and they were hearing weird stuff too. So yeah, we've tried different stuff with music. I think music could be a key. I was interested to check out some of your shows and what did all things paranormal add up to. And so you did Mackinac Island drowning pool.
Yeah.
But you know what? Todd no longer claims that that's true. You guys were there at the drowning pool, right? On Mackinac Island?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now he says that there's people have had activity there, but the story, he can't find anything to back up that. At one time, people were quoting him as supporting that, but he no longer, just for your own information. Yeah. Because I wrote an article on him and I talked about the drowning pool. And then I interviewed him. He says, no, I don't claim that anymore. So, aliens, antiques, authors, tarot, tools, gear, ghost haunted places, roads, cemeteries, cursed cars, planes, ships, dolls, ghost bridges, ghost marriage.
Yeah.
Now, when I had brought that up like two Halloweens ago, ghost marriages, is that the Chinese custom?
Yeah, we kind of did on that show, we kind of did both, where it was mainly the Chinese custom of ghost marriages, but we also threw in the woman that married the pirate. But yeah, ghost marriages, that's interesting, where if the girl's not married, or if guy's not married, or a girl, they can actually marry ghosts.
Yeah, if their fiance passes away, then they still go on with the wedding and are committed to that person.
Some of the stories I read, people were, they were digging up dead people so they could marry them. Oh man,
they bury them and then they bury them and redig them up and reusable corpses.
Witches, witching hour, medium, soul, death, doppelgangers, near-death experiences, which Joe, I don't know.
Did you have one?
No, nothing happened when I was under, or nothing happened now.
Well, that's why I did my my version of Hamlet, is because I thought maybe you might have some insight to this undiscovered country.
Nope. I've never had a near-death experience myself. I'd have after-death experience with my best friend Jackie, but other than that, not by myself. We've interviewed a few people that have, a couple rock stars that they actually died and saw heaven, and it was pretty interesting.
There's, and nurses have a, they have different terms that they come up with for people who have these dreams, these visions of death when they get close to death. But you weren't that close, or you didn't have any sort of dreams?
I didn't have any dreams. I didn't have the urge to pack up a suitcase to go split somewhere. No, I didn't see any apparitions in my room or anything.
Do you remember when they put you out? Did they make you count backwards?
No, it was weird. I've never had that kind of anesthesia before. And they wheeled me into the operating room. They had me get on the table. They didn't help me get on. They just, here, get on that table. I'm like, all right, over. And do you remember way, way back when you used to get drunk and the room would like spin halfway and then go back? It started doing that where the ceiling was going this way. Like my eyes must have been traveling back and forth.
Yeah.
And they did that for about 10 times. The next thing I know, I'm waking up in the recovery room.
Wow.
So, yeah. Apparently I was out for 6 hours.
Okay. And but another thing you guys talked about on your show was the Cotard syndrome.
Yeah.
And I brought that up on the last, our last Halloween show just recently. I thought that's pretty interesting too. Could you go into that a little bit, you guys?
Yeah. That's when people think that they're dead and they think that they don't have any guts, like all their innards are gone, and they actually really do believe that they're dead.
Yeah.
And it's a mental thing where people have said that they're dead and don't eat, and then they eventually do pass away because they don't eat. But a lot of them just say, you know, I'm dead.
And I think they're smelling rotting flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They think that they're wasting away, but technically they do waste away because they don't eat or don't drink. Which causes, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then some of them have died because of it, but it's a syndrome and people have survived it also. And people have got help and felt a lot better and believe that they're alive now. But yeah, it's strange. I can imagine to where you actually feel and believe that you're dead.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that because I was going to bring that up, like I say, because we're going to go into zombies, and that's kind of like a zombie thing.
Yeah.
Sorta, I guess, you know, whether there aren't really the true definition of zombies around, not like they talk about that was happening over in Haiti.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With scopolamine, the zombie drug.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever talked about scrying on your show?
I think we did.
It's not something early we really, show. Yeah. I think we had an early show. Joe has, and he didn't even realize he has, but he has a black mirror.
Yeah. A scrying mirror.
That, where did you ever get that?
I don't even remember. It just showed up one day. I think I got it like a garage sale or something, because when I was doing product photography, I needed something to put the products on to make them look good. And I found this black mirror and I'm like, this is perfect.
And he brings it in the house.
So right? I bring it in the house. I actually put Velcro on the back of it, so when I lay it on the table, it doesn't move. And it's been in the studio here for probably 11 years. Oh. And come to find out, it's a true black mirror. It's not one of those ones. A lot of people will take regular glass and paint the back with black, but you know, it's sort of like a regular mirror has the silver inlaid on the back to make it a good mirror. This has some kind of black onyx or something on it. And
why would somebody want a black mirror?
What you do is you put the mirror up and you actually stare into it.
Yeah.
As you're scrying into the mirror, and it's sort of like same thing with the crystal balls and that, but mm-hmm. the mirror, you'll actually stare into it long enough and you'll start seeing either your face change. You'll see other people in the mirror. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people say that they look into the mirror and they actually, their faces change to someone else. And that's supposedly a different life that you've lived.
No way. I never knew about that. Have you tried it?
Not yet. And I'm looking for a good frame to put it in. Right now, there's no frame. It's just sitting over there in the studio. And
Brandon has experience.
Yeah, I've done the scrying one. It was me and my team members. We were doing it. And it was the one that they had made at that Greg and Dana Newkirk made it during the Haunt Me episode. They made it at the Hinsdale House. And I was supposed to be able to communicate with the Hinsdale House. But we were going and looking into that one. And we actually like both seen the American Gothic painting. And when we were doing scrying, it's like I'm seeing that painting with the guy with the pitchfork, and it's like, that's what I just saw. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Jen, what do you think? You buy into the scrying thing?
You know, I'm always skeptical until I try it. But, you know, I don't discount anything, because, you know, you can use anything for divination. You know, you can look into water, people look into tea leaves, they look into coffee grounds. Why not a mirror? Mm-hmm. You know, like mirrors are kind of the reflections of your soul. So I'll give it a try. But if it scares me, I'm not going to do it again. Like if I see a scary clown or something weird or evil, I'm not doing it again.
It's pretty weird, because a lot of times you can be in it, it'll look like your reflection's like melting away. Mm-hmm. As you're staring at it and stuff, or like your reflection will change, but it's not matching what you're doing. It's really, really weird.
I'm gonna get it out of the closet and try it tonight.
Yeah,
I think you should.
Don't do it alone.
You say that you have weird stuff, paranormal stuff happen in the studio. Are there other things that you brought into the studio? Maybe you've brought stuff in?
I don't know. I've had a lot of different things in the studio here back when I was doing like pinup photography and all that kind of stuff. And photography for different people, for businesses and stuff. And I have done product photography, but that's usually new product. But I don't know, maybe brought something in. I mean, like you can't see it, but on the other side of camera here is my actual like art gallery, and hanging in there is an authentic, I don't know what you call it, but when you come into a church and you have the holy water in there and the genuflect, I have an original piece out of a church. So maybe that brought something in. I don't know, but I don't have too many haunted objects in the house. I don't think
all those spooky people that you're interviewing. We used to have people come right to the studio and we did all the shows right here.
Yeah, we have too.
Yeah.
We have during recording, we have things happen all the time. I tried to play it earlier for Kim, but we were recording one day and I was sitting on this side of the table. Jen was sitting on the other side of the table, and I saw a blue visible orb go across the hallway by the art gallery. And I'm like, okay, what was that? And we were done recording. So Jen jumped up, grabbed the spirit box and grabbed her phone and recorded a Class A EVP that is my best friend, Jackie, who passed away 10 years ago, saying, "Hey, Joe." Yeah. And I played it for a few people and didn't tell them what it was. And a lot of people say, it's saying, "Hey, Joe." And I played it for her mom and like, that is her voice.
Yeah,
it actually is Jackie's voice.
Oh, wow.
That happened. We were doing the show about the Greenbrier ghost. And all of a sudden in my track, which are we record on separate tracks. And then when I edit, I put them together. But we both heard it in our headphones. We heard a woman screaming. Mm-hmm. And we're both like, what was that? You know? And so that got picked up. We have a lot of our listeners email us saying, "Hey, I heard an EVP during your show." And so stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I have our buffer music in my computer and I have Ave Maria in my computer, but just like we're sitting here, the mouse was 2 feet away from us, wasn't close. And Ave Maria started playing in it. So I had to actually physically stop it from playing. So things happen all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, like I said, we record a lot at different locations during conventions or during ghost hunts. If I want to interview someone before a ghost hunt at like Randolph Asylum or something, we'll record and we'll get EVPs over our equipment then also. Yeah.
So for the viewers and listeners out there, there's EVPs coming A, B, and C. C, the most common, can't really make them out. You know, there's something there. You're not sure what it is. A is rare. And then everyone's supposed to be able to agree on what you're hearing. If it's a Class A EVP, you know, in the 10 years that Brandon did it, I don't know, Brandon, how many Class A's you think you might have recorded?
Oh, that's really tough to say. Maybe 4 or 5, maybe.
And then if you're using some sort of device, ghost box or something, and then that just puts an element of question into it already.
I don't consider that EVP. It's just more, I think they can communicate through it, but you can't really, just because it can be radio and stuff too, you can't say with definitively, even with EVPs, it can be a challenge too, because you might be trying to make something that's not really there, but.
Right. Brandon hears more EVPs with his naked ear than anyone I know, but you got to be quiet. You can't be talking like me all the time and then expect to hear stuff. Your ears don't work when your mouth's gone. So if you're out there ghost hunting, be quiet, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be real quiet.
Even if you think you're two stories above everybody else, sound travels through walls very easily.
Yeah.
I hear my heartbeat and stuff on recordings, I think, and or you clear your voice and you do that. And of course, Brandon and I were usually guilty of eating something.
I have to eat something during it, because if I don't eat something during an investigation, doing like an overnight, then all I'm getting is recordings on my stomach growling. I'd rather have 5 minutes where I quick eat something than have an entire investigation ruined from stomach growling.
We wanted to do a recording of just stomach growls because we have so many.
Yeah. The blooper reel.
There were so many demons in there. No.
Right. I know I got in trouble for eating, but if you're out there 3-4 hours or all night long, I'm diabetic. I need to eat something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Now, have you guys ever encountered anything that just scared, was like, oh, bleep? Like, have you guys had any really dark experiences?
I haven't real well. I've been in the presence of somebody who had gotten scratched right next to me. Wow. So there must have been something present in the space I was occupying. It never happened to me, but I was a witness to it. That was pretty darn scary. I was freaked out. Like, I have never seen anybody get scratched in real life. You know, it was just like we were around a circle doing a spirit box session, and the person who was kind of in charge of it was kind of coaxing it, not really teasing, but in a like, why don't you just go up to the, you know, like just kind of like
taunting,
being a little bit mean, I guess you could say, to the spirit, like, what's your problem and why aren't you going? And he was, the spirit was, you know, calling women in our group bad names. And so the person in charge of the spirit box was kind of giving it right back to him. Well, this prompted somebody in our group to get scratched.
Oh my God.
And he was just like, ow, like that. And I'm like, what's the matter with you? And he said, he's like, I don't know. Something just scratched me. It's all hot and burning. So I said, let me see. Pulled his shirt up. Sure enough, it was like three, you could see three fingers come down. And it had almost pierced the skin to the point where it was like, it was puffy, red. And it just literally came out of nowhere.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. I've had scratching too. Mm-hmm. Or members that got scratched at a military mm-hmm. museum. And I made a comment after the first scratch, I'm going, that's kind of a feminine thing. Maybe it's a gay Nazi. And that just led to more scratches. So, yeah. I mean, you never want to taunt or challenge any sort of entity. You're not sure what you're dealing with.
Yep. I felt very uncomfortable while that was happening. Like, I felt like, you know, this, whatever this evil presence is going to get pissed.
Yeah.
And I could just see it coming. It just happened to be this poor individual next to me got the brunt of it.
Yeah, I don't know
why it was him and not me. I don't know.
Right. Brandon and I have been spooked a few times maybe, but I mean, I had a bat in my face, you know. You're never gonna let me live that one down. He was wishing he had the camera on me. That happened.
I turned my camera off, like, man, why did you shut my camera off?
Oh no.
Yeah, I screamed like a little girl.
5 minutes.
You scream like a woman.
Oh yeah.
Well, I heard him scream. I like turned around, like, did you just see a ghost? He's like, no, oh, bat flew in my face.
So not by the paranormal though. We kind of need to move on. We're sort of running out of time. I always do a final thought, and for the final thought, I try to find something you guys hadn't talked about on your show. It's kind of hard to do. Philosopher's Stone.
Good.
So I gave the kind of a homework for these guys to look at. I don't usually give them a heads up on the final thought, but Philosopher's Stone. Kim, did you find anything on Philosopher's Stone?
No, I didn't know about that. I guess I must have missed that from you. Philosopher's Stone. Sorry.
Yeah, some like, or at least the one I'm familiar with it is more like the Harry Potter series. But in America, it's more the Sorcerer's Stone. But in England, it was the
Philosopher's Stone. Oh, that. Okay, yeah, now I get it. Immortal. Okay.
Yeah. For some reason, they don't think that Americans know what the word philosopher means, so they changed it to Sorcerer's Stone in the American version, but.
I think I sent you an article with it, Kim.
Yeah, now I know. I'm like having a mental block here. Yeah, no, I get it now.
So 222 Paranormal, Joe and Jen, Jen and Joe, mm-hmm. Philosopher's Stone, anything to that, you think?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Ah, I found something.
It stumped us.
Tune in next week when we talk about philosophy.
Oh. So 271 will be.
Well, you know, they don't really say it's necessarily a stone. It could be a powder, a magical substance, although it had been described as ruby red stone. And it's used to create elixir of life, make a person immortal. And it also transforms metals, mercury into gold or silver. And throughout history, there have been some examples of people that have witnessed what they've, mercury turning to gold or silver, Albertus Magnus. And it's in text, ancient text from Alexandria and Arabian text. And it's various colors, red, blue, yellow, black, but mostly the dark ruby red. Recently, there was a gem that was found, I think, in Mexico. They didn't claim it had any magical powers or anything. But, you know, in our modern era, looking younger, they're always looking for something like that. You know, you can get the little tube of stuff. get rid of these bags under my eyes. You know, you see that. You're right. They're out. That stuff is out there. And if we can ever find the fountain of youth, and you'd be very rich for finding that. Or basically, Philosopher's Stone's the same thing. Shout out. We always do a shout out. So our former previous guest was Bill Konkoleski. His name came up earlier. What a fascinating. He thinks that he's maybe not done being abducted. That was the last thing I asked him. The last question I asked him, was he ready to go again? And he thinks that maybe they're coming back for him. And it's like gearing up. What's that, Brandon?
He thinks it's been a really dead period. And then he thinks it's about to start amping back up. He said, like, not just him. The other abductees haven't been experiencing stuff, but he thinks that it's about to kick back off again.
And we've had people on our show that have predicted in the next year to 2 years, it's going to be obvious to everybody that aliens and UFOs, and Bill pretty much said the same thing. You know, the government's releasing things that they weren't releasing before. So some people are being vindicated. The ones that came forward and claimed they had seen things, and then the government denied it, made it look like a fool. Now they're being vindicated. We had people right here in Grand Rapids, a meteorologist that Bill says he's going to be coming out in the news, and you're going to be hearing about him too. So shout out to Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Gene Gregory was the one that started us out on this show. So I do a shout out to Gene, and Nate Dietrich worked with us for years. But I do a shout out to Kim and Brandon, because without those guys, I'd be lost here. And they're going to be doing it themselves. So that's upcoming, ongoing. What do you guys, got anything upcoming or ongoing you would like to talk about?
Well, us or Kim?
Yeah.
Brandon, you got the stage here. What do we got up and coming?
So the next one is going to be Wayne's farewell show. It's going to be our next episode. I got some other guests that are kind of in the works right now, but we're still in the process of scheduling them. So me and Kim, after Wayne's final show, we will be continuing the show forward.
Brandon has Jose Paranormal History Productions right in his background.
Yep. You can find, I'm going to be doing some investigation videos. I do some different travel videos, and you can catch all the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters podcast episodes on there as well.
And then Kim has our Facebook out, Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast Facebook.
Yep. Yes.
But.
Yep. So everything obviously gets put on there as well.
And then you can find all our stuff, WKTV, the Whole Picture Podcast, or else you just want to listen to it on the Journal. And then what about you guys? I know you can find your stuff on Spotify, different places. Where else can you find your stuff?
Well, we always say go to our website first, 222paranormal.com. But we're everywhere.
Yeah.
iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, podcasts, podcast player, I should say. But pretty much everywhere. And we are on a lot of places that we don't even know about. I do searches all the time. I'm like, I wonder if we're on. So, and we'll pop up on places I have never even heard of. You know,
wow.
We're everywhere.
The upcoming, are you pretty much season over?
No. We have a few shows in the can coming up. And we're always trying to think of different shows. We're always looking for guests. If anybody wants to come on the show, let us know. If you have any stories you want to tell us. Conventions, the only two that we have locked down right now is the, I can't say the word, Parapsychon at the Ohio State Reformatory. And we're also Michigan Paracon. We always do that. But we have a lot of conventions that are calling us and emailing us, wanting us to come out there. So we're trying to get our schedule figured out. But if you just look on our website, we list everything on the website.
Yep. Okay.
Legends in the industry, without a doubt. Right. One of my pet projects has been the National Suicide Prevention.
Yeah.
And our last show was right on Veterans Day. And actually, veterans are one of the worst groups when it comes to suicide. We lose 22 veterans per day.
Yep.
And while we're doing this podcast, we'll lose another veteran. So The numbers out there are 1-800-273-TALK or 273-8255. And if you're a veteran, just dial one after that, and then that will get you where you need to go as a veteran. And then by next year, this time, there'll be a three-digit 988. The FCC has mandated that three-digit number for national suicide prevention. Ages 10 through 34, it's a second leading cause of death. In 2017, there were 47,000 suicides, and the numbers fluctuate from there. They've gone up. Believe it or not, they went down some for some reason in 2020, but I don't expect that trend to hold. It affects all ages and genders and races. So it's a real threat to people. It's something that can be prevented. You know, you can learn the language and learn the signs. So that's pretty much it. I do an inspirational thought at the end of the show, and then the show's going to be over. So Joe and Jen, or Jen and Joe, it's a pleasure. I knew you guys would be a lot of fun. I knew there'd be a lot to talk about. Brandon and Kim, always good to see you guys. But Henry David Thoreau said, go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Live the life you've imagined. So that's my inspirational thought.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for having
us. Don't be a zombie. Get out there and do some stuff.
We had a blast. We definitely look forward to this. And thank you
very much.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys. Peace.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.